103.9.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around. Down the same old strip, I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around,
round, 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 round. I get around.
Oh yeah, and that's what we do on a Tuesday. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Seymour FM 103.9. I'm Ron Jessop, and the name of the show is As a Matter of Interest. And as the theme song from the Beach Boys says, I get around, well, we get around to different topics. Recently, I met Marion at a local charity shop, and we got talking. And she had such an interesting story that I invited her along to the show. And thinking that her story was worth hearing, I thought, well, I reckon that would be good community radio. So I have invited her, and she's agreed to come in. So, Marion, I want to extend a welcome to Seymour FM.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. Marion, you probably haven't been in a radio studio before.
Never.
Oh, well, welcome. I'll get you just to come a touch closer to the microphone there. Oh. Now, Marion, as we were talking, you mentioned where you grew up. So I'd like you to tell us the town that you did grow up in. Where was
Bullygull,
it?
Bullygull in New South Wales.
Bullygull?
Yes.
Okay. And in New South Wales, exactly where is it in New South Wales?
Well, you go up to Deniliquin, and then you come to Hay, and then you go to Hell, which is a log cabin hotel, which is now an antique, and then you go to Bullygull.
Okay. So, according to my calculations, it was about 100 kilometres north of Hay.
I don't know with kilometres. It was 48 miles.
Okay, 48 miles. Good. And if we happen to fall asleep or miss Bullygull and we kept driving, where would we end up?
Two places. One way, you'd go to Hilston. The other way, you'd go to Mosgiel and Ivanhoe Wilcannia way.
Okay, so hopefully there's been enough town tags for those listening in. So we've got Deniliquin, Hay, 48 miles or approximately 100 kilometres north of Hay. We're at Bullygull. Okay, so you grew up there. Now, you're at liberty to tell us your age or not. That might help.
Well,
perhaps
I am 80.
You're 80, okay. So we're going back 80, okay. So we're about, I'm doing a 1934.
Yep.
Okay. And so you weren't born in Bullygull, but you were born in a nearby hospital.
There was no hospital in or doctors in Bullygull.
So you were born, obviously,
in
the
Hilston.
Okay. But you actually grew up in Bullygull.
Bullygull.
Paint us a picture. Here we are, Marion, in the 1930s in Bullygull. What did the town look like?
Well, we didn't live in the town. We lived 4 miles out. And from 6 years old, you had to walk 4 miles to school. Then 4 miles home again, and then you had chores to do. And
already the story is interesting. So as a six-year-old walking 4 miles, that would be about 6 or 7 kilometres. to school?
I wouldn't have a clue.
You must have had good shoes.
Barefooted if we didn't get sprung.
Oh, okay.
We used to leave our shoes in a hollow tree. Until the teacher sent a letter home to tell us Mother did she need assistance to buy us shoes.
Okay.
Well, we all had strap marks on our backsides because my mother and father did not believe in people telling lies.
Which is probably normal, pretty normal back in those days.
Yes. Consequently, we had to wear shoes after that.
Okay. So who did you walk to school with?
Well, when we left home, there was my two elder sisters. And we went past our aunties and grandmothers. And then we went to Spears's. And they had three kids that were going to the school as well. So we all walked together.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about school. Here we are. We've arrived at school. You're 6 or 7 years of age. What was the building like and how many children actually were at the school?
The most there ever were was about 20. We had one teacher. We used to play hide-and-seek cricket. Hide and seek, you might be up on the roof of the school, behind the chimney.
It's great hearing these stories because those listening in who are around your age or say 60 plus will well remember the times when we did get onto roofs, we caught yabbies, we shot slug guns, we climbed trees. Those were the days where kids broke arms, broke legs, and there was no fear of litigation. Weren't they different days?
They were, because we did yabbying, but we weren't allowed to go near the river till we learnt to swim.
Yep. And what river was that?
The Lachlan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to go down behind the shearing shed, take off all our clothes, and then jump up and down across the river where it was shallow.
Yes.
Because we seen the cows crossing, so we knew how how deep it was.
Yep.
But what we didn't know for years later, that if we'd have gone up a little bit that way, there was a well in the... Yeah. We found that out years later.
And why would that have been a good thing or a bad thing? Would that have been a dangerous thing?
Yes, because Dad had already lost a brother who had drowned in a well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's why we weren't allowed in the river until we learnt to swim.
You're listening to Seymour FM 103.9. I'm talking to Marion about her childhood at Bullygull in New South Wales.
I've been to cities that never close down, from New York to Rio, an old London town. No matter how far or how wide I roam, I still call Australia home. I'm always traveling, I love being free, so I keep leaving the sun and the sea, but my heart lies waiting over the foam. I still call Australia home. All the sons and daughters spinning around the world, away from their family and friends. But as the world gets older and colder, it's good to to the shore, I realize something I've always known. I still call Australia
is one big song. That's Peter Allen with I Still Call Australia Home. And I've chosen that song because we're talking about all things Australia. I have Marion Gillis with me here in the studio. Marion is an 80-year-old who grew up in a small town called Bulligal, and we're talking about her childhood memories. So welcome back again, Marion.
Thank you.
Perhaps we've talked a little bit about walking to school, those
yes.
4 miles, and what was school like. So now take us out of the school. We're walking around Bulligal 80 or 75 years ago. What will we see? What shops
well,
are there?
There is, well, I don't know now because I haven't been there for a few years, but there was a post office and a police station. There was a hall for dancing. There was a shop which did animal food as well as human food. Hotel. A school. A schoolhouse. Three churches. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 houses.
So few houses that you could actually number them.
Yes.
And about how many people would have lived in the town?
Well, everything was, you know, there was people living out of town. A lot of houses were about, you know, I suppose about a quarter of a mile out.
Okay.
Quite a few.
Yeah. So some in the main street, and then there was a spring thing out.
No, that was the main street that I told you.
Okay, that was it. Now, when we were talking recently, you said, I think with a degree of pride, that Banjo Paterson had written a poem and Bulligal was in it.
In it.
So start the poem yet, but tell us a bit about the poem and how you came across it yourself.
Well, I didn't actually come across it. We had to learn it at school. Mr. Jap, his name wasn't Jap, his initials was Jap. We used to call him Mr. Jap.
Yep.
It was J.A. Peters was his name.
Yep.
And we call him Mr. Jap because...
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
He made us learn that. We had to learn that. That was poetry, and you sat there and you learnt it.
Okay. Now, the other day, you recited this from memory, word for word. So we're 70 years on. I'm imagining that you're at, say, around 10 years of age or something like
probably,
that.
Yeah.
So 70 years ago you learnt this poem, but you could remember it word for word. So I'm going to ask you now, you can either do it by memory or you have got it in front of you there, but can you read the poem for us?
Yes.
But before you do, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about the poem by way of background?
Well, it was like our life. It was, I don't know, we lived in the bush because we didn't live in town, we lived out of town. It was just reminded us of how we lived.
Okay, so what I pick up from that is this poem captures what it was like living in Bulligal.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go for it.
Because there's one part in there about the guys sleeping on the billiard table. That happened when I was staying at that hotel. Not that time. It happened before that as well.
So this is real life stuff.
Yeah.
Well, here's Marion Gillis with Banjo Patterson's poem.
"You'll come and see me, boys," he said. "You'll find a welcome and a bed and a whiskey any time you call. Although our township hasn't got the name of quite a lively spot. You see, I live in Bulligal, and people have an awful down upon the district and the town. In fact, the saying far and wide along the Riverina side is Hay, Hell and Bulligal. No doubt it suits them very well to say it's worse than hay or hell, but don't you heed their talk at all. Of course, there's heat, no one denies, and sand and dust and stacks of flies, and rabbits too in Bulligal. But such a pleasant, quiet place, you hardly see a stranger's face. They hardly ever care to call. The drovers mostly pass it by. They reckon that they'd rather die than send the night in Bulligal. But down to Hay, the shearers come, fill themselves with fighting rum, and fight the snaggers every day until there's juice to play. There's none of that in Bulligal. Of course, there isn't much to see. The billiard table used to be the great attraction of us all until some careless, drunken curs got sleeping on it in their spurs and ruined it in Bulligal. The big mosquitoes frighten some. You lie awake and hear them hum, and snakes about the township crawl, and shearers when get their check, they never come and wrong and wreck the desert town of Bulligal. Oh, does stuff that up. But down to Hay, the shearers come, fill themselves with fight and rum. I did that one. And chase blue devils up the wall and fight the snakes every day. There's none of that in Bulligal. Of course, there isn't much to... I'm repeating myself.
We'll get there.
Just now, there is a howling drought that pretty near has starved us out. But if there should come any rain, you wouldn't cross the black soil plain. You'd have to stop in Bulligal. We'd have to stop with bated breath. We prayed that both in life and death our fate in other lines might fall. Oh, send us to our just reward in Hay or Hell, but gracious Lord, deliver us from Bulligal."
Well done, we got there.
I did repeat one though. Never mind.
Now, Marion, it's interesting because it doesn't cast Bulligal in a very good light, but there's a sense in which you felt that at least put you on the map. So is this a good poem for Bulligal or a not-so-good one?
Not really, but the things that happened in those days probably could be still happening now. Because, as I say, there's only about 6 houses there now. And they're new ones. A lot of the others had just fallen down. Because the pub's no longer in... That hotel is no longer... They got a new hotel. Because all the walls were fallen down.
I was probably pretty old.
Oh, yes.
So, the town now, is it still alive?
No.
Is it growing or is
no.
it really, really struggling?
The post office is closed. The police station, they don't have police there anymore. My dad's brother's wife had a brother who was in the police force. He was a policeman there.
Yep.
But when he left, that was it.
Yep. So how does it feel, although, oh, let me go back a step. At what age did you leave Bullingall?
Well, when you say leave, probably about 14, but leaving Bullingall didn't mean that you went to another town. You're still in contact.
Yeah.
I went to a station, and Daisy Plains, it was called. It's the people have since passed away, and it's got new owners. I went out there to mind a child, their daughter. I am still in contact with that daughter. She lives up in Queensland.
Yeah.
I was treated as family. I might have been the cook. I might have been station hand. Whatever was needed, we just filled in.
Yes. Well, we've got some other station announcements to come to.
Yeah.
I'd like to pick up on that because life after Bullingall. But the thing that strikes me there is we know that saying, you can take the person out of so-and-so, but you can't take the so-and-so out of the person. So, for example, you can take Marion out of Bullingall, but you can't take Bullingall out of Marion. And that's a classic example of that, where you may have physically left there, but again, some 65 years later.
But we still go there.
Yes.
We go up there and we might go to Ivanhoe, because I've got friends up in Ivanhoe, and we'll go up there to see them, and we go through Bullingall.
Yes.
But if it's late at night, we don't stop.
I hope those listening in are enjoying this, and it perhaps maybe evoking something, because I sense there's something very real and deep about where you grow up, particularly if you've lived there, say, to be at least 10 years of age, say you've got some memory. I suspect that there's something in common there, that the roots go track back there, and even though you may have moved on from there, there's something in our heart, particularly in those who've grown up in the country, something in the heart that is special. And you may not even get back there very often, but the memories are there, and particularly if you do go back there, you remember.
Yeah.
I suspect, yeah, and I just wonder how many people listening in will be going, yeah, I can relate to that. But let's just leave it there for a moment. You're listening to Seymour FM 103.9. I'm talking to Marion Gillis. I'm Ron Jessop, and the show is As a Matter of Interest. And the thing of interest on the show today is a conversation with Marion Gillis, who's had a really interesting life that began in Bullingall, but also she's now ended up in Seymour, and we'll get to that part of the story in a minute. Just to intersperse the show with a little bit of music, I thought it would be really good to have at least one Slim Dusty song, so let me pop that on now.
From Townsville to Greenvale, we're building a line through the ranges and gorges to the great nickel mine. The long days are dusty and hotter than hell, and that's why we all worship Three Rivers Hotel. It's these brothers camp on the banks of the Star, where men from all nations and walks of life are. And it's funny to listen to the stories they tell every night round the bar in Three Rivers Hotel. We curse at the things that go wrong through the day, and vow that we'll snatch it oh far away. But when day is done and we're soon feeling well, and laughter rings out from Three Rivers Hotel. There's Wesley the barman and young Irish Joe, serving the booze and collecting the
dough. What a stir they would cause if they ever should tell all the secrets they've learned in Three Rivers Hotel. On the night after payday, there's fun and romance. It's a night for the families to sing and to dance. You can let down your hair and come out of your shell and do your own thing in Three Rivers Hotel. And if you listen to the bosses when the night's getting late on the progress they're making, the best in the state, they'd be finished this line and this maintenance as well if they worked like they bragged in Three Rivers Hotel. And if you think you can drink, we've got money to back on stays like Cass and old Grader Jack. And they tell me old Costa gives everyone hell when he gets on the booze in Three Rivers Hotel.
Yay, the whopper!
When this job is finished, we'll pack up and go to another construction, still chasing big dough. But wherever I wander, my memory will dwell on those happy days in Three Rivers Hotel.
Let's sing together now.
From Townsville to Greenville, we're building a line through the ranges and gorges to the great nickel mine. The long days are dusty and hotter than hell, and that's why we all worship Three Rivers Hotel.
Yeah, come on, Costa!
From Townsville to Greenville, we're building a line through the ranges and gorges to the great nickel mine. Long days are dusty and hotter than hell, and that's why we all worship Three Rivers Hotel.
Oh yeah, that's Slim Dusty with Three Rivers Hotel. You're listening to As a Matter of Interest, and the theme today is a conversation with Marion Gillis. Well, Marion, we got to about 14 years of age, and you've actually shifted out of Booligal. What did you do then? Where did you go?
Actually, I did a bit of nursing in the Hay Hospital, but I couldn't pass the nurse's exam because I never finished school.
Okay. Is that because your feet wore out walking to school? Or
no. It was just that you had to pass... In those days, you had to pass year six to get, if you wanted to be a nurse, you had to pass that. If you didn't, you couldn't be a nurse. You had to pass that exam.
Yep. Year six. We're talking about grade six here.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is such an interesting conversation because, again, we're going back, this would be mid-40s. So to become a nurse, you had to pass year six. Now, to get into nursing, you'd have to pass year 12. So 6 years on. Just, it is so fascinating, the historical comparisons. Anyway.
But I'll tell you now, with nursing, if we'd have been... Half the nurses would have been kicked out of hospitals because I heard a nurse asking a patient who didn't know what day it was whether he'd had his medication.
This is back when you were there.
Matron Wilson would have kicked you out the door. She would have grabbed you by the scruff of the neck and that would have been it.
Anyway, so you did a little bit of nursing there, but you weren't able to complete it because you hadn't completed grade six. So what did you go on and do then?
Well, then I went back out onto the farm and then I met my husband and we got married and started having kids.
Got to ask the question, where did you meet your hubby?
At the Booligal Hotel.
Yeah. Okay. Got married. Where did you get married?
In Ivanhoe.
Okay. At a church?
Eh?
At a church?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say a church because people did then. So you didn't get married in a church?
No, I got married in a house.
And back in those days,
that was naughty, naughty, naughty.
Yeah, wow.
And do you know, years later, I found out he had been married before and never got a divorce.
And what were the implications of that?
I had 10 kids by then.
This story gets more and more interesting. So here you are with 10 kids and you find out your husband has been married before and didn't have a divorce. So what happened?
He had a daughter and a son.
Mm. Wow.
Yes, that's what I said. So I packed up from where we were down in Melbourne and I came here.
Came to Seymour?
Yep.
Okay. So that news precipitated, that's a long word, that news led to you saying, right. And does that mean you up and off with 10 children?
No, I had 4.
Okay.
The others were at work and 2 of them were married, actually.
Okay. Well, answer this however you will, but that must have been a huge shock.
Why do you think I packed up and went?
Yeah. Life, a watershed, life-changing.
And how I found out was a woman come knocking on my door. Oh, you must be Peter's sister. He said he was coming to meet his sister, and this was the address that was on a letter. I'm his fiancée.
Oh, wow.
Now you know why I packed up and went.
Yeah.
I left it down.
Okay. I'm always intrigued at hearing people's stories. And so often there's something of the human story that relates. And again, there may well be people listening in and thinking, yeah, I've had something like that. I've been disappointed. I've been betrayed. It's unfortunately the stories that unfold in our lives have parts of betrayal and things like that. And so, wow.
But what has hurt me most was his mother came up and arranged for us, because we were in the shearing shed, and she arranged for our wedding. Now, she must have known.
Yeah.
That he was married.
Well, so you can potentially throw in deception.
Yeah.
As well.
That
wow.
That really hurt.
Wow, I'll bet it did. Just moving on from their marrying, with all respect for that. So you came to Seymour.
Yep.
How long ago was that?
74.
Okay, that's 40 years ago.
Is it that long?
Wow.
I thought it was only about 30.
Well, it's time for another station announcement. You're listening to Seymour FM 103.9. The show is As a Matter of Interest, and I'm talking to Marion Gillis. So, Marion, we're into our last 3 or 4 minutes, and we might just talk a little bit about your time in Seymour. So here we are, the girl from Bulligal, a long way away, has lived the last 40 years in Seymour. Tell us a little bit about what's it been like living in Seymour.
Well, what I did when I left Melbourne, I got a caravan and I got the people that I bought it off, they bought it to Seymour for me, and I enlisted the kids in school here. And then I was looking for work. I tried for quite a few places, and the guy next door to me suggested that I apply out at Pucca. So I thought, oh, well, might as well. And, oh, sorry. Anyway, so I went out to Pucca. And I asked, because he said to me, if you want to work under another name, tell them, don't do it and then get into trouble. So I told them that I needed to change my name, and they said that was all right. So I changed my name, I got the job,
I was there for 16, 17 years.
And what did you work as?
As a cleaner.
Okay.
I worked at the officer's mess, the sergeant's mess, and headquarters and the barracks store.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're nearly out of time.
Oh, yep.
But let's just roll the tape forward a little bit. The other day I met you at the Go Again charity op shop, which was a bit of a chance meeting. How long have you been working there at the op shop?
Oh, I don't know. I was there when they were in the other building.
Okay, so it'll be a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
But what's it like working at the op shop?
I like it. I enjoy it. That's why I keep going.
Yeah. What sort of things do you enjoy about it?
Oh, I don't know. It's talking to other people and mixing with the people that you're helping. And, yeah, it's just enjoyable.
Yeah. And would it be fair to say that you're the sort of person that you like being out and about, and although you're a fair age now,
you've got to be out and about.
Yeah. You're still pretty active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go for a walk every day and, yeah.
Very random question, because we need to finish in just a moment. As you look back on your life and life experiences, what sort of advice or comment would you give to a 10-year-old now, growing up? What have you learned along the way?
Well, I don't like any of what goes on nowadays, I'll be quite honest. I believed that a smack on the bum when a kid did something wrong stopped it from doing it. Not made it keep on doing it, but stopped it. And life, I don't know, I'm glad I'm not growing up now.
In other words, put another way, discipline.
Yes.
Children these days need discipline. Yeah.
Well, when you look at the teachers that have resigned because they couldn't cope with the language that the kids were using, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Because when my parents didn't swear, damn, Melt, you got a whack across the ear hole. So you didn't do it again. You knew you were going to get hit.
Yeah. Again, it's a very different day and age,
yeah,
isn't it? Well, Marion, I want to thank you for coming in. It's been really interesting hearing your story. It's great to have you out and about around town.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for continuing to serve with Go Again at the op shop there.
Yep.
And may even be there's some people that haven't quite known you, or perhaps they've only ever known you as Marion, and now they know a little bit more about you. You never know. As people listen into this, you might get people coming up and saying, hey, that was really interesting. Or, anyway, it's been great to have you. I'm going to put on another song now. It's another Slim Dusty song as we finish the show, and I'll sign off as well. This is Slim Dusty with G'day G'day, and then there's going to be a John Williamson song, Bells in a Bushman here. It's been great to have your company. I'll look forward to your company next time on As a Matter of Interest. You're listening to Simmer FM 103.9, and thanks again to Marion Gillis for joining us on the show.